podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this isn't obvious now. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
He's up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, festive greetings, welcome along to another edition of The Punt Podcast here with William Hill. My name is Dave Kellner, and over the course of the next 30 minutes we're going to give you bets and tips in the four televised games in the Premier League. We'll take a look at the Championship, League One and League Two as well in the company of Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross. But first, as ever, no rest for the wicked, and the wicked on the line right now. Derek McGovern, first of all, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Wicked applying to my tips of late, no doubt. Dear me. You know what? My forecasting has been so bad. The meteorological office have asked me to join them. That's how bad I am. Jesus. You know what? I've been listening to the weather forecast. The only reliable weather forecast I've heard in the last, 30-odd years, more than that, was supplied by pop stars. There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas. That's the only forecast I've relied on.
And completing our team, our triumvirate here on the podcast, live from Teesside Shopping Centre, the car park at Teesside Shopping Centre, the glamour, Andy XL. Good morning.
Oh, no. I don't know about triumvirate, axis of evil, maybe.
And good to have you with us for these four televised games. Derek, did you watch the match last night, Manchester United at Leicester? Did you see any of that?
Yes, I did.
What are they doing, Manchester United, Derek? Why are they not trying to kill that game off?
Well, you know, I've had so many arguments with Man United fans. There are one or two still believing Jose Mourinho, unbelievably, in my view. Now that United are going to win, now that United and Liverpool are going to win the league this season, they're going to have failed. But I would rather fail the Liverpool way of playing than the Man United way of playing. And you know, Fergie must be absolutely turning in his off license the way things are going there. It's absolutely shocking. So a team like Man United, supposedly the biggest in the world, which I've never believed in, by the way, but that's what everybody says, and they're playing football like, I don't know, West Brom. It's a joke, absolute joke.
I agree. I couldn't believe it. Late on in the match, when Marcus Rashford gets that ball with 5 minutes to go, he must be told, you've still got to be negative and retain possession. They were 3-on-1 at that point, trying to kill the game off, and he went backwards. It's absolute madness as far as I'm concerned. Let's get stuck into this Boxing Day set of fixtures then, and we'll start with Spurs versus Southampton at Wembley. Spurs are 1-3 to win the game. The draw 4-1 with Southampton 10-1. The enhanced odds, Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win, was 13-8. That's been enhanced to 2-1. And Harry Kane and Dele Alli both to score was 16-5. That's now 4-1. Harry Kane was simply once again sensational against Burnley. Yesterday it was, in fact, and he's now got 36 Premier League goals in 2017. No player has ever scored more in a calendar year in the competition. Alan Shearer has 36 as well, and his 2017 has been unbelievable, Harry Kane. And Spurs will be expecting Andy to win this game pretty comprehensively on the back of that performance against Burnley.
Yeah, I think they'll be expecting a comfortable home win, and I think they'll probably get it. Like you say, Harry Kane, he's had a wonderful 2017, but with a World Cup ahead, could it even be a better 2018? Do you know what, though? I'm beginning to look at some of the England players, and I'm thinking, if the team has a reasonable run, some of those players could come to quite high world prominence. But,
oh no, it's not started already, has it? Jesus.
No. I'm picking out certain players. I think Harry Maguire might be one that, you know, every time I see him, I think he plays the right way. And I think he could be one that, if he can have a decent World Cup, he's got no world profile at the moment, and afterwards he might well have. But coming back to this game, I can see Kane doing it again, basically. I can see him breaking the record, and I'm looking at all the bets around him. I think he's about 4-6 to score any time. And with Virgil van Dijk sat in the stand and Christ knows who playing at the back for Southampton, I think that's not a bad bet. And I think it's about 12 to 5 first goal scorer. You can look at anything to do with Harry Kane in this game to give yourself a bit of interest, I think, because it's going to be a comfortable Tottenham win.
4-6 years to get on the score sheet any time, as you mentioned, Kane. He's actually 14-5 to score two or more. And if you think he's going to get another hat-trick in the Premier League, that's available at 12-1. Derek, I'm not having Harry Maguire at all. Andy, with all due respect, that guy's got a rather large turning circle as far as I'm concerned, Harry Maguire.
He's the next Jack Wilshere.
I like Harry Maguire.
Do you?
I agree with Andy there.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's. I'd much rather have him in the England side than the likes of Smalling and Phil Thickface Jones. I just think he's got it. He's a danger going forward as well. But this game, I mean, yeah, great performance by Tottenham at Burnley. But it was only a couple of weeks ago Tottenham was smashed up by Manchester City, and yet they're 1-3 here. What the bookies take us for? In my case, about £400 a week. I can't have them at 1-3. They've got, you know what? We were quibbling about Tottenham's away form recently, but I think they've got to fix their home form as well. And I know several Malaysian businessmen willing to do that for them. I think they've only won four home fixtures. Is that right this season? I'm pretty sure I saw that. Not much more than half of their home fixtures have they won, and they've been held by West Brom and Swansea at Wembley this season. That's bottom and next to bottom. Southampton don't give too much away, and interestingly, there's a stat here, I don't know what you're going to make of it. Southampton have won 5 of their last 6 Boxing Day games, most recently beating Arsenal 4-0 2 years ago. That's quite an incredible run now, isn't it? A team like Southampton winning 5 of 6. Maybe they're doing something right with their Christmas preparations that their opponents aren't. What I'm saying is Tottenham at 1-3 is not a bet I want to be interested in at all. Yeah, Harry Kane will probably score. He's sensational. His stock has risen, whereas Dele Alli's stock has fallen, although not as often as Dele Alli. I mean, I tell you what, it's come to something. And when football fans are conditioned into believing that was a penalty, that Dele Alli dive was a penalty, and ditto the Calvert-Lewin one against Liverpool, that those are penalties, football fans are now arguing that they were right, those decisions. Well, you know, it's a big worry, that is a big, big worry. Getting back to this game, Southampton +2 or 8-11, get on that.
If you are looking at Southampton +2, make sure you check out those handicap markets there. I'm not having that Boxing Day stat, by the way, Derek. Surely you don't believe that Christmas preparations are better at one club than another?
Well, if it was, say, like Liverpool or Man City, you'd expect them to win that often. But this is Southampton, really. They shouldn't be winning 5 or 6 Boxing Day games, should they? Mm. I don't know. I haven't looked back that far to see who their opponents are. But there's got to be something more than a blip there, hasn't there?
Spurs,
maybe I'm talking nonsense.
It's a possibility, Derek. I wasn't going to suggest that, but it is a possibility. By the way, that Spurs stat in terms of their home form this season, they started off very sloppily in the league at Wembley. They've actually won 5 of their last 6 Premier League games at Wembley, but at the start of the season, they were very shaky at home, and that's been something that's been commented on widely in the press as well. So Southampton plus a couple for you, Derek, at 8-11.
Yeah.
Liverpool versus Swansea next up then. Liverpool are 1-6 to win this game, 5:30 on Boxing Day. The draw 7-1 with Swansea at 16-1. Enhanced odds, Mohamed Salah and Philip Coutinho both to score was 2-1. That's now 3-1. If you fancy both teams to score in the first half, that was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Paul Clement's out. Leon Britton has taken he's taking care of Swansea at the moment as caretaker manager. The latest betting for the next permanent Swansea manager sees Gary Monk at the top of the betting. He's been well backed as well to return to Swansea. He's 6-4. Frank de Boer 2-1. Tony Pulis 6-1. Slaven Bilic is 7s. Leon Britton to get it permanently 10-1. Ronald Koeman 10-1. And it's 11-1 and bigger the remainder. Come back to Swansea in a minute, Derek, but Liverpool drew 3-3 against Arsenal. I said on the podcast, I think, last week that it's that sort of fixture you want 10 times a season. You maybe want it more than that. It never fails to deliver that fixture.
Yeah, it looked for all the world like another 4-3, didn't it? You know, so much time to go when it was 3-0. But it's just two teams, you watch them, and, you know, they are perfect for the neutral. They are always going to give you a great game. But for the fans of the two sides, it was just tearing your hair out about the way they defend. And You just know that those two teams are never going to win the league with those managers on board. I mean, yeah, Liverpool are unbelievable going forward. No point me going on about that again. Everybody knows that. But this manager must have known. Every single Liverpool fan knew where the problems lie in the summer. Why didn't he? Why didn't he go and do them? And he might say, well, we couldn't get anyone better than what we've got. Balderdash. How can they not get players better than the ones they've got? Manchester City did. Pep Guardiola recognised his problems, so we went out and bought replacements. Okay, they got more money than Liverpool will get, but Liverpool's got 40 million to spunk on Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Why not buy a decent centre-half with that, or a decent keeper? It's just, you know, this question needs to be put to Klopp. And when he goes throws his toys out the pram, wait until he calms down and then ask him again. Explain that to Liverpool fan Jürgen, please.
Yeah, they've lost 43 points in the league from winning positions since Klopp was appointed manager. That's the highest amount from any team in any league in Europe, which is absolutely ludicrous, isn't it, really, Derek?
Well, you know, I think it was on Match of the Day last night, Danny Murphy was pointing out a couple of things that, you know, the defence was culpable as normal. I mean, Joe Gomez's marking for the Sanchez goal was an absolute joke. But he did point out a couple of the midfield runners that should have tracked Arsenal one didn't. Mo Salah, Philippe Coutinho, and that doesn't help when that's happening. But, you know, Klopp's answer, when Liverpool go off, he's probably listening to criticism now about closing the game down. So his answer is take off an attacking player and put on a defensive one. It might not. Sometimes it doesn't need that. You're hammering a team anyway. Just carry on the way you are. You don't always need to do that. He doesn't seem to have any idea about how to shut a game out. No, I'm not going to be giving him advice. He knows an awful lot more than I do. But, there's something clearly lacking in his tactical acumen, and Liverpool are suffering because of it.
What's the bet here then, Derek?
Oh, Jesus. You know what? Every time Liverpool play a cannon fodder, you know, the likes of Brighton and Bournemouth, they're always too short, and I think I look to oppose them, and it has two results. Liverpool win and I lose, and I'm getting fed up with it. Swansea won this fixture last season. Can you believe that? They won it 3-2. You don't know what's going to happen with the manager business. I mean, Tony Pulis was the early favourite. You know, Tony Pulis is the modern-day Martin O'Neill. You know, whenever a manager is being sacked now, Pulis is invariably the favourite to take over, and invariably the manager being sacked is David Moyes. But you should never back the favourite for a manager's job, because all you're doing is ruining the price for me. I think the word is that, you know, Gary Monk, he's a 6-4 favourite, and it's his job to turn down, which he almost certainly will the moment I back him. I can't have Swansea, obviously, but how can you back Liverpool at 1-6? You can't. This is a game where I'm just going to go for someone to score a goal. It's Philippe Coutinho to score at any time, because I look at that player and he's 5-6 to score at Swansea. I reckon he could get about 4. I'm going to go for Coutinho at 5-6 to get on the score sheet.
He's 14-1, by the way, if you fancy him to score a hat-trick in the game, Philippe Coutinho. Andy, what do you make on this one? Swansea travelling to Anfield.
Well, they just can't score, can they? And that's their problem. They can't score, Liverpool can. If I was looking at a bet, again, a bit like Derek, I'm trying to manufacture one out of this, I'd be looking at Liverpool win the game in over 3.5 goals. Swansea have only conceded 3 goals 3 times this season, but 2 of them are against Man City and Man United. So against the top teams, they do leak goals. I think Liverpool will comfortably get home here. This is a bit of a worrying set of fixtures for us, because there's so many top teams playing lower teams. And that's why you've got some short prices in there. It's, again, that bookmaker's ACCA insurance. So we're guarding against the Spurs, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, Man United, Tottenham, you know, all of that. I said Tottenham twice there, but never know. we're protecting against that a bit. So there might be some value in the other team, as it were, but not in this one. This is going to be Liverpool's all over.
I was thinking about last season's Boxing Day fixtures, Andy, from a bookmaking perspective, because William Hill got hammered last Boxing Day as far as the football was concerned. This year, you've just mentioned it there, if you put Spurs, Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool and Manchester City, we'll come to those other games in a few moments' time, but you put those into a five-fold accumulator, it's just edging towards 2-1. That's going to be so popular, isn't it, this Boxing Day?
Well, I've been hearing it from directors and such like for a little while now about, we're going to be all right on Boxing Day. Yeah, we'll be all right. So I'm relying on one of these to trip up, and I might give you a view as to who that might be when we come on to one of the other games.
Let's move on then. Quickly, we're at St James's Park on Wednesday night, 7:45 kickoff between Newcastle and Manchester City. 12-1 Newcastle, the draw 5-1, Manchester City 1-4. Enhanced odds, Dwight Gayle to score and Newcastle to win. That was 12-1. And that has been enhanced to 16-1. If you fancy Kevin De Bruyne to get on the score sheet and Manchester City to win again, that was 7-4. That's now 2-1. Newcastle have a wretched record, Andy, against Manchester City. They've picked up just 3 points from their last 57 available in the Premier League against City. They did draw against them last time out. That ended a run of 12 consecutive defeats against the Citizens. And Sergio Aguero's got a great record in this fixture in recent times as well. Aguero is 4-7 to score any time. He's 5-2 to open the scoring. He's scored in each of his last 5 Premier League games against Newcastle and got a couple against Bournemouth in another dominant Manchester City performance at the weekend. This should be plain sailing for City, and they're 1-4 to win this game, Andy.
Well, but that's the point. They're 1-4 away from home. And Newcastle at home on a... You know, I know it's not Boxing Day, but the day after. So the fans have got to be up for it. And to me, this is a tricky little game for City. And I'm not entirely ruling out this could be the first loss. And at the prices, I'd be looking at Newcastle rather than City. And I think you can back Newcastle +2 at odds against. Now, that looked all right to me. Again, like I say, it's the protection. We know Man City are going to be in every accumulator that ever exists. So we've priced it accordingly. And so if you're looking for values on a single bet, you've got to look at Newcastle.
12-1 Newcastle to win the game. Newcastle +2, 11-10. They're just so hard to back against Manchester City, even at a short price like 1-4. Andy's made a compelling argument there that from a bookmaking compiling perspective, they've decided to they don't want to lay the favourites, basically, so go artificially short on those big teams this Boxing Day, and Manchester City 1-4 too short, according to Andy.
Well, yeah, I agree, but that's to be accurate. City would have to go to Newcastle 5 Boxing Days on the run and win 4 of them. I mean, they're well capable of doing that, obviously, but I'm not sure that would actually happen. And it's the worst. This is what City didn't want here happened the other day on Saturday. Newcastle getting a fantastic victory at West Ham in front of the home fans on Boxing Day. You know, the place is going to be a riot. You come at the wrong time for City. Newcastle's win, believe it or not. And I can't touch them at 1-4 because right now they've won the league. Everybody knows that. You know, they're going to lap the rest of the sides. And sooner or later, human nature, we can rest up a little bit. It's Boxing Day. They're going to rest up. This is the day to rest up. I'm not questioning their professionalism. But, you know, we've seen it before. You do get some odd results on Boxing Day. And I'd agree. Newcastle +2 on home soil, you know, given what they've just done against West Ham, 11-10. That's just too big. I'll be going for that.
This is the day after Boxing Day. This is the Wednesday. But same comments apply, though, Derek.
No, forget that. same ones apply, but with a little less confidence now.
Newcastle 12-1 to win the game. Newcastle +2 at odds against 11-10. And we finish this set of fixtures with Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. This game at Selhurst Park, and Palace are 19-5 to win it. The draw 14-5 with Arsenal 3-4. The enhanced odds, Wilfred Zaha to score and Palace to win, was 7-1. That's 9-1. That looks tasty. And at Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 9-4. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Now, Derek, we talked about Palace's form improving under Roy Hodgson on the last podcast we recorded. They drew 1-1 against Swansea. Not great, but that kept things ticking over. And that was a big game as well because they didn't want Swansea to edge closer to them. And we've mentioned Arsenal drawing 3-3 with Liverpool on Saturday as well. Arsenal have actually only won 2 Premier League away games this season, which is their joint fewest after 9 away games of a campaign in a Premier League season, which is very interesting, I think, going into this one, Derek.
Yeah, they have. Arsenal have lost more games than Burnley as well. It's just a frightening statistic, especially if you're Burnley. I don't have Arsenal at all. I can't have them. For ages, they haven't been able to beat the top sides. Now they can't even beat the average ones. Teams go to Arsenal expecting to win. That doesn't include Arsenal. I just can't have them. I think they were really poor against Liverpool. They had a five-minute spell when Liverpool just drifted away. And somehow they made three. They got 3-2 up. Now, when you come back like that 3-2, how often do you see the other team come back? That exposes the soft underbelly of Arsenal, that they actually allowed Liverpool to come back and get a late equaliser and possibly even get a winner, given the attacking they were doing. And here's another little fact, another little pearl of a stat have come up for you here. Arsenal haven't won any of their five Premier League London derbies away from Arsenal in away from the Emirates in 2017. That's terrible, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's a shocking record, and we're supposed to be backing them at odds on. I mean, you know what my thoughts are on Palace and Roy Hodgson. They're going through an unbeaten run, but they never win games. They draw. And under Hodgson, that's his MO. But if you draw every game, you're on 38 points. You're in danger of going down. So I'm not having him. I'm not having him. He's so old now, you know, that when someone tells him a knock-knock joke, he doesn't respond until they show him some ID. He's just I can't have him as a Premier League manager. But I can't have Arsenal either. I've got a feeling. You were saying, Andy, that this could be the Man City game could be the one that upsets the Acker money buyers on there over Christmas. I've got a feeling this one will be. I've got a feeling for Palace at 19-5 here.
19-5 Palace to win the game. I don't suppose, Andy, this does this fixture worry you a lot, or do you expect to field like a reasonable amount of cash for both sides here?
Well, it kind of depends what's happened on the previous, because this is the last of the round of fixtures. So if all the favourites have won, you'll probably see Arsenal shortening up. If one of them's not won, then you might see some move on the aim for the Palace price shortening, because it's all about market forces in that case. It's just what have we got in the bag, as it were. But you've got two teams here: Palace unbeaten in eight and Arsenal unbeaten in six. But you don't, as Derek said, you don't really trust either of them. Arsenal, I mean, I could say the same things that Derek was saying about Liverpool earlier. You know, they need centre-halves and they've got an ageing goalkeeper. He's a good ageing goalkeeper, but at the same day, so am I. I think they should have gone out and got Jack Butland in the close season, and they probably should go back in January and try again. But, I just can't trust either. So, but if I was having a bet in this game, you double chance, you can have Palace or the draw at 10-11, I think, which is, if they're unbeaten in eight, I'll trust them more than Arsenal.
Yeah, agree. Crystal Palace 19-5, draw 14-5, Arsenal 3-4. Let's finish then with the Naps, and hopefully we can give listeners a winning treble to end the year. Is that a possibility, Derek?
No.
We'll try anyway. What's your nap, Derek?
God, it's a tough set of fixes again. I keep saying that. My confidence is gone. I'm going to go for Leicester, 15-8 to win at Watford.
Leicester at 15-8. Andy, what's your bet?
He's just hit mine. My best nap is the one after Christmas dinner. I'm scrambling about now. I'll take Newcastle plus 2 at 11-10.
And Newcastle plus 2 at 11-10 against Manchester City. I fancy Everton to win at West Brom. I think West Brom are just absolutely dreadful at the moment. So I'll take Everton to win that one away from home at the Hawthorns. That treble, Leicester at 15-8, Newcastle plus 2 at 11-10, Everton at 2-1, 17.11-1 is the Boxing Day treble. Thank you, chaps. Thank you, Derek. Enjoy your Christmas.
You too, lads. See you soon.
Thank you, Andy.
Have a good one, everybody.
Enjoy the Teesside Shopping Centre and we'll speak soon.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and Preston let me down last time out, didn't they? Didn't get over the line, I lost another nap. Merry Christmas. But ultimately, I think Derby at 6-4 will get me a bit of Boxing Day glory back. Hull, of course, slightly improved under Nigel Adkins in terms of performance, if not result, have lost back-to-back away games 1-0 at Cardiff and at Leeds. But at home, admittedly mainly under Leonid Slutsky, things have been very difficult indeed, especially for them at the back. Conceded 3 against Forest, 3 against Borough, 3 against Bristol City, twice against Ipswich, and admittedly they did beat Brentford, but they conceded twice that day as well. Derby have got a fully fit squad. They haven't conceded in 4. They've won all 4 of those games, and they were mightily impressive in their dismantling of Millwall back on the 23rd of December as well. Derby County, for me, are improving rapidly under Gary Rowett, and therefore at 6-4, they're my nap of Boxing Day. I hope you've had a good Christmas and have a good new year. In the meantime, let's check in with Gav Puszulowski for his thoughts in League One.
It's a highlight of the football season, the Boxing Day fixtures. Tis the season to be jolly, and I'm very jolly about my last nap selection, which was Wigan to win at Oxford and over 2.5 goals. It landed just. Wigan won 7-0. And I'm back in Wigan on Boxing Day to beat Shrewsbury. Top two going head-to-head. 4-7 for Wigan is absolutely fine, but we can do better than that. This is a real chance for Wigan to lay down a marker and go 7 points clear at the top of the table. Wigan are romping League One at the moment. Last 5 games, won all 5, scored 19 and conceded just 1. Wigan scored more goals in that 7-0 victory against Oxford than Shrewsbury have in their last 5 games put together. Shrewsbury's away form is very dodgy at the moment. There's a couple of defeats, there's a couple of draws, and there's one solitary victory at Rotherham, and they're not scoring away from home that much, Shrewsbury, and they are conceding goals. Wigan are 4-7, absolute solid 4-7 for me, but my nap selection is Wigan minus 1 goal at 9-5. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
So I'd honestly written this piece before the prices came out. I was ready to back Cheltenham at almost any price to beat Yeovil. 5-6 is a good price, but there was another that took my eye, and it was Luton Town, who were slightly bigger. The traders had given me a Christmas present I couldn't miss taking. Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. So what do you need to know about Swindon, Luton's opponents? They are brilliant away from home. They've won 8 away this season. That is 3 more than any other team in the division. And yet they're only mid-table. Why? Because their home record is terrible. Their win at Crewe on Saturday, predictable, because Crewe are very much a struggling side, predictable to the point where I mentioned it in passing on the last pod. Before that, though, they'd lost 5 straight. Swindon's last point at home was November the 11th. That was a draw against a Chesterfield side who'd lost 7 of their last 8 in the league going into it. That's nothing to shout about. And besides, you bounce back against Crewe, fine, but you don't continue that against a team like Luton. League leaders, after Swindon, the best away record in the league and on a roll. 3 games ago, second place Notts County held them to a draw. They have won the other 7 of their last 8 games, in which time they have scored 25 goals, that's over 3.5 per game, and conceded once. It's also 4 wins in their last 6 away, and these sides have only met 4 times in the last decade. The away side has won every time. My Christmas present to you is the pick of Luton as a nap. The trader's present is the near evens price of 10-11.
Thank you to Gav, Pete and Al for their previews of the games in the Football League. And that is it for this edition of the Pump Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you as well to Derek McGovern and Andy Excel. The next Punt Podcast, by the way, will be coming to you on Friday the 29th of December, ahead of those games leading up to the new year. Again, thank you for your continued listenership to the Punt Podcast. Check out all the betting ahead of the Boxing Day set of fixtures by going to sports.williamhill.com. All those games accessible via the William Hill app as well. And if you ever want to download this podcast, it's available at all the usual podcast places. Go to iTunes, type in the Punt. You can go to audioboom.com and type in the Punt as well. Enjoy your Christmas, folks, and happy betting here with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.